Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw, who heads Freedom Advocates, an organization here in the Monterey Bay area, and dedicated to exposing this movement towards sustainable development, the plan for the one world government. And this is really behind so much of what's going on today, the drive for a one world government, the drive for a new world religion with the destruction of Christianity, which is why they took God, prayer, and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. Convert us from a Christian or Judeo-Christian nation into a secular nation and ultimately into a nation that would embrace the other religion, the Gnostic religion, if you want to call it that. But, of course, we could give it many names, the religion of Masonry, which is the worship of the great architect of the universe. But if you read Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, he will tell you this is Gnosticism. And once you understand what Gnosticism is, and, of course, you can read about it up on the Internet, it's simply the worship of Lucifer. And people say, why would anybody want to worship Lucifer? Well, very simply, because he gives you total freedom. You don't have to abide by any laws. You don't have to abide by the restrictions of the Ten Commandments. You become your own God. You can do whatever you want to. And if you give yourself over, you will get great wealth. You'll get great power. You'll get fame. You'll get all sorts of rewards down the line. But, of course, at a terrible, terrible price. And people find it hard to believe, but this is behind this move towards the world government. And right now, of course, Michael Shaw is on the front lines of this battle to expose the drive towards sustainable development and Agenda 21 here in the United States. It encompasses literally everything that's going on, whether it be global warming or energy or population control. But I'm going to let you hear what Michael has to say, because he studies this all the time and probably is one of the world's leading experts on this subject. Michael, thanks very much for being with us again.
It's a pleasure to be here, as always, Dr. Stan. You know, the message that you deliver through your programming and the listeners that you have really, I think, form the core of what's needed across America to return us to the land of the free and the home of the brave. Because we're on the wrong path now. You talk about a one-world government, and that requires a one-world economy.
And a one-world currency, too. They've got to destroy our currency before they can take us into the one-world economy.
And if people don't understand the messages that are coming out of the economy over the last couple of weeks, if they don't see it in the light of the one-world government, they need to step back and think a little more, because the U.S. economy is under real attack. And really, it's the economies of the European Union as well that are under real attack, and the Japanese economy has been suffering for a couple decades now. But all of this, I think, is leading to the realization of what you have already characterized as the core ingredient, which is to create a one-world currency in order to drive us toward this one-world economy, whereupon a one-world government will be established. And at that point, the notion of unalienable rights, the right to your liberty, your life, and your property, will simply be abated. And that's what the fight is all about.
And, of course, I think it's so important for people to realize that what you're seeing today with the collapse of the world financial system didn't happen by accident or out of incompetence. The legislation we put through last Friday will not solve the problem. It's going to complicate the problem, because they don't want a solution. They want to destroy our economy, our currency, and have a world currency. Well, Michael, why don't you go right ahead?
Well, you know, and taking off from that point, I mean, the real issue, the real opportunity given to the globalists today is is the reality of the nature of fiat money. And people who don't understand what fiat money is or its nature need to take a quick study in what that is. You know, our money today is not a constitutionally based money system that's predicated on a commodity. The Constitution calls for gold and silver. Of course, if we return to that tomorrow, I think we'd be in even deeper trouble because the globalists who have converted our legitimate and constitutional and sound money system based on gold and silver have created a system based on thin air. And they've had profits in this country for nearly 100 years now on that system. In Europe, this fiat money system goes back as much as 350 years. And so the globalists who've been working to create fiat money systems in every country of the world now have been able to operate with all of the profits that have been generated from the interest off of the creation of this debt-based currency system in order to control all the mechanisms of modern society, from media to politics to industry. And as a result, they're in the driver's seat. And as a result of that, they're able to manipulate and control our stock markets and our monetary systems generally. And now we're beginning to see them, you know, call due what it is they think is theirs, and that is total control over not just our economic system, but ultimately over all aspects of our lives. And that's where the study of sustainable development becomes so important, because it is sustainable development that is their political economic design for the creation of a one-world government under a one-world economic system where the distribution between nations and within nations is to be equalized amongst ordinary people. Of course, there will always be that ruling elite that doesn't have the rules applied to them. Those are the people who are really masterminding our monetary systems and the design of sustainable development implementation. But the rest of us are all to be equalized. And our numbers are to be minimized. The UN has called for the reduction of world population from today's 7 billion numbers down to 1 billion. That's an 86% reduction in the level of human population. So we're talking about serious matters.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Michael has just been talking about the UN plan for population reduction, pointing out that they do intend to decrease the world population from where we are today down to 1 billion people. Some people want to get it down to 100 million, but of course the people there in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report that came out of the Second Earth Summit talked about 1 billion people. But, of course, that means they're going to kill off, you know, the vast majority, in 80 and 90% of the world's population. You're dealing with people who have a different worldview. When you understand that, it's not hard to understand what's going on. If you're looking at it from a logical point of view, of course, what logical person would want to do that? What person with any human compassion? But we're not dealing with logical people. We're not dealing with people who have human compassion. These people create wars. They send our boys over to seas to kill and be killed. And of course, how many people have we killed in Iraq in the process of freeing them from that wicked Saddam Hussein who killed people? Well, remember, Saddam Hussein used to work for the CIA. If you doubt that, we have books written 20 years ago who talked about Saddam Hussein working for the CIA. And certainly we helped him. We financed him all during the 1980s. And then we bombed him all during the 1990s to the point where he really had no military power left at all. And that's why, of course, we were able to take over the country so readily. But certainly every time the Iraqi people and the Iraqi military tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein, why we betrayed them. The State Department did. That's covered in a wonderful book called See No Evil, written by a CIA agent named Robert Byrd. See No Evil. We carry the book. You're never going to hear this on the regular media from Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Brian Williams, but I'm talking too much. Go right ahead. Let's hear what Michael has to say about sustainable development and how this all fits together and how important population control is to their master plan. Go right ahead.
Well, the good news, Dr. Stan, is that even in the last few weeks, we're seeing a flurry of activity, a dawning of interest, you might say, across the country as the financial meltdown continues. We bail out the globalist interests. You know, the claim from the president and others is that we're facing this massive credit crunch, where businesses can't borrow money from our banking system because of the problems that have resulted in this need for a bailout. Well, the bailout happens, and the stock market continues to crumble, and the credit crunch isn't resolved, and you got to start scratching your head and start to ask, how do these two things tie together? That is, the bailout and the credit crunch. And I challenge any listener, and maybe we can get some calls on this tonight, to come up with any theory that ties the bailout issue to the supposed credit crunch that is happening today. Now, that credit crunch is going to wreak havoc on the middle class, but, gee, that's the design of the globalists, is to wreak havoc on the middle class. Because, again, the goal is to equalize income between nations and within nations. So that means that except for that elite class that intends to run the world, the rest of us are to become chattel.
And let me just comment, of course, that the idea of equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations comes from the Earth Charter, which is the master plan for what's going on. And certainly you can pull it down on the Internet. The Earth Charter was written by Gorbachev. It was written by Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, by Maurice Strong, a multi-billionaire tied into the Rockefeller interests. Understand, these things are not happening by accident, ladies and gentlemen. They're happening by design. And you're not going to hear about the Earth Charter, which is now enshrined in the Ark of Hope, which is a Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. Do you offer copies of the Earth Charter to your ministry, Michael?
Well, we do not.
Well, they can get it from us if they can't get it from you. And, of course, it's available readily up on the Internet, though.
Well, the sad thing is I went down to visit the good sisters of St. Joseph down in Orange County who were my teachers in grammar school, and the seventh grade teacher that I had was very serious about the challenge that Americans and people around the world would face in the early 21st century, and she told us that that the age of reason would be severely challenged at this time, and that there would be a serious onslaught brought about by globalist interests to eliminate the ideals of the American experience. You know, and as a 12 or 13-year-old sitting in her class, I thought, my, that doesn't make sense. Once people have evolved to the status that I presumed Americans had evolved to, there was no way that we were going to go back to some kind of dynamic of middle age suppression of reason and understanding. But what has happened is that we're precisely where Sister Paulette told us we would be, that all things that are reasonable today are under challenge. And to my great dismay, the Sisters of St. Joseph have a brochure now that advertises the glory of the Earth Charter. It is happening at all levels of our society. The invasion of this globalist order has simply taken over. It's certainly the case that for the last 20 years, the White House has been occupied by members of this New World Order. We're working diligently to take us down that path. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. You don't get your major party nomination without being an agent of this new system. And, nobody has advanced it further than has George Bush. But here we are at the end of his term, and the systems are falling apart very rapidly. And they keep claiming the bailout was necessary to solve the credit crunch. So after the House rejects this bailout, a week goes by, and the House accepts the bailout because of their commanding concern about this credit crunch. And here we are 2 days later, and at one point today, the stock market was down 800 points. After this bill passed on Friday, it dropped 300 points. The stock market is diving down. Notwithstanding the bailout, the credit crunch continues. You've got to begin to ask yourself, well, what was the connection between the two in the first place?
Well, I think it's important for people to know that at one point today, the stock market was down almost 800 points.
It hit 800, actually.
Right. And then, of course, the plunge protection team, that's known as the Working Group on Financial Markets. And you can check this out on the Internet. The Working Group on the Financial Markets is a government agency. And what's their job? To manipulate the stock market. And if it goes down too far, you just manipulate it back up again. And, of course, you think that this is a free enterprise system. You think that the market really responds to supply and demand. Of course not. It's all manipulated because that way they control your mind. If it went down 800 points today, you'd be very concerned that they don't want you too concerned all at one time. But gradually, little by little, they're going to erode and destroy the infrastructure, the economic infrastructure of this country. That is the goal, because these people's loyalty is not to the United States, but to the internationalist dream, the New World Order, the New World Currency, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. Go right ahead.
Well, and let's step back from that a little bit and say, well, oh, gee whiz, let's look at the skeptical view of this. That can't be. You know, the world is too diverse and economic power is not so centralized that things can be so manipulated. Well, for listeners who think that's the case, they need to study the nature of fiat money. Fiat money is the nature of money everywhere across the world. You know, it originated in Europe 350 years ago. Fiat money is money that's made out of thin air and issued to government and issued to businesses in the form of debt. So the issuer is able to create the money, loan it out, and earn interest on it for time immemorial. In the United States, we adopted that system of government in 1913. So the globalist bankers who make money out of thin air, you know, it's not constitutionally derived, it's just created by those vested with the power to formulate this money, have been earning interest for 100 years on all the money in the world. Every bill you have in your pocket is issued as a form of debt owing to globalist bankers. Now, it's not hard to extrapolate in your mind how it could be that core of globalist bankers who created this money out of nothing have been able to use the profits of all the interest that has been generated from all the creation of money for that period of time, and how it is that they've been able to create systems that allow them to manipulate and control markets. You know, it was Rothschild who said, "Let me make the money. I care not who makes the laws." Today, the globalist banking industry controls all things. So they can maneuver that stock market however they want. They can pick their candidate in the Democrat Party or in the Republican Party, and they've done it in the form of Obama and McCain. We're going to have 4 more years of globalist objectives, globalist dictator sitting in the White House. When we come to 2012, we're going to find ourselves in a much, much worse position than we are today.
And I think it's very interesting that neither one of the candidates mentions the Federal Reserve System as a privately owned central bank, and it's the central banks and the fiat money system that's behind the crisis. No, of course, both Obama and McCain were solidly behind the bailout of the banks, which is not going to help the people who are going to lose their homes by foreclosure. You have to understand they're both candidates are internationalists. It's either one of them talked about illegal immigration, maybe having English the official language of the United States. Of course not. They're not going to talk about the important issues. They're just going to call one another names. It's a great show. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, we really are at the end of the free market. You know, the free market is going to be blamed for the fall that we're in the midst of now. that may level off for.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Oil for food program, right?
Food program, yeah. And he and or his son were found to be engaged in real criminal activities. Getting the money out of this system. And Maurice Strong, who was the Secretary General to the UN's 1992 conference in Rio de Janeiro, on which really unleashed the Agenda 21 or Sustainable Development, as it's come to be called, is now. Is hiding in China, the only country that would take him.
And here's a man who's a multi-billionaire for a couple of lousy $1 million. But, of course, he thinks nothing wrong with lying and cheating and stealing and corrupting the system. And he got caught. Isn't that interesting? And of course, they did. They were going to go after him and indict he and his son. So he took off to hide in China. He was the number two man of the United Nations, the most powerful man of the United Nations, certainly one of the most powerful men in the world. He was the man who really controlled Kofi Annan. Kofi Annan was simply a figurehead for Marie Strong. And Marie Strong, I think there's justice in the world. God must have been laughing when, of course, Marie Strong was forced to flee the United Nations and flee into the Northern Hemisphere for fear he'd be, you know, indicted and sent to prison for violating international law. And now, as Michael said, he's hiding in China. But you're not going to hear about this elsewhere. But you can read about it all up in the Internet. We are so fortunate, Michael, to have the Internet now, where we can get the information and people can check out what you and I say. Otherwise, they don't know whether it's true or not. I mean, certainly, you know, you can try to check out what so many of our communicators say, and it just isn't true. But the documentation is up on the Internet if you know where to look. And go right ahead, though, with the story.
Well, the real key to the implementation of sustainable development is built into the phraseology that the globalists use here in Santa Cruz and around the country, as I, you know, get exposed to various, various communities, is a mantra used by the globalists called "Think Global, Act Local." And the "Think Global, Act Local" dynamic is about implementing this dynamic in communities across America. And the way that has come to pass is that every community, every county in the United States has a sustainable development local action plan. And the purpose of those action plans are to implement the goals of sustainable development. If I were to outline that as summarily as can be done, the goals of sustainable development are the following. First, it's the step-by-step abolition of private property, primarily through the implementation, if you're in a rural county, of the Wildlands Project, and if you're in an urban county, through the implementation of Smart Growth. Smart Growth has a number of different names used in different states around the nation, but if you understand Smart Growth and you live in an urban community, you can begin to understand the political dynamic that has begun to shape your community. You say, oh, not in my community. We're good people in my community. Well, I'll tell you that every community in the United States has its Smart Growth program or its Wildlands program. Smart Growth basically means build residences on a stack 'em and pack 'em basis, high rises in walkable communities with public transit. The goal is to get us out of the car.
Don't forget about the bicycle trails. We've got to have bicycle lanes on the streets, too, so people will ride their bicycles rather than drive their cars.
The goal is to limit your mobility, because mobility is freedom. Without mobility, you aren't free. You can think of Chinese peasants in the 1960s. That is the vision of sustainable developers for life in America by the year 2020. And 2020 is always the year picked by the proponents of smart growth policies. And in your community, I don't care where you are, in your community there is a general plan, a smart growth plan or a wildlands project plan that is bringing the principles of globalist philosophy into your community. Now, that's bad news, but it's also good news, because the global to local action plan of sustainable development can only be fought by fighting it locally. And when enough communities have won that local fight, we'll have a national impact that can begin to change our Congress, change the representatives that we're electing. And from that point, it's on to bigger and better things.
Hold that thought. Our telephone number, give us a call if you'd like to give us. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Michael Shaw. We're talking about these programs that they're setting up all across America, literally in every community. Why? Because they have their agents in every community. Every communist works towards these goals. Every socialist works towards these goals. And whether they knew it or not, of course, they're being coordinated by the very people they oppose the most, the people of great wealth, who they think are the villains. They've been taught, you know, oh my goodness, the people on Wall Street want to take advantage of you. Who do you think finances the environmental movement? Who finances the communist movement in the United States? And if you doubt that, you need, of course, to get the records of the Reese Committee, that only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate, the Great Tax Exempt Foundation, Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie, back, I guess it was in 1954, and we have a book called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. They've tried to suppress it for the better part over 50 years now, but we have kept the book in print. Why? Because at least we want to be you to be able to get the information you're not going to get elsewhere. Well, certainly right now we've got Gloria calling from, Gloria calling from Spokane. Hi, Gloria. How are you doing?
Hey, I just read a front page of the Spokesman Review here in Spokane, Washington. They're just running another article that that all the people want the light rail, and I don't know who has taken these surveys. Apparently, they call it a scientific survey conducted by the Northwest Climate Change Center in Spokane. So 73% of the people want this electric light rail to be parallel to our I-90 freeway that goes from east to west. But my goodness, we in Spokane, we don't even have a north-south freeway that goes from the southern part of our city all the way north, because, you know, there's about 10 or 12 miles there that you just have to go really slow and stop at red lights. And they passed a law that they were supposed to put this north-south freeway in 30 years ago, and they still haven't gotten the funds because the liberals in Olympia don't want them. Well, I can see now it's part of the Agenda 21 plan.
You're absolutely right. Have a thought on that, Michael?
Well, I do. Light rail is happening everywhere. Light rail is the transportation system, the premium transportation system, that is the cornerstone of Agenda 21. In San Jose, now that's the eighth largest city in the United States, in San Jose it costs the public $8 per rider that gets on the light rail system. Now the rider pays $2.50. The subsidies for light rail in a heavy metropolitan area are enormous. When you start to think about putting light rail in Santa Cruz, which is the discussion here as well.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Michael Shaw. We're talking about sustainable development. We're talking about, of course, a lot of this gets into this idea on light rail. And, of course, Gloria was calling from Spokane, saying that they've recently taken a survey up there, and the people are overwhelmingly in favor of putting in a light rail system up there. And that's simply because, of course, they've managed to be able to block any major freeways through Spokane for 30 years. The people want it, but there's a group there that's been blocking it, just exactly as they block this same sort of developments here in Santa Cruz where I live. They block them all over the world. Why? They want control by creating chaos. And of course, certainly Michael was talking about the idea that they want a light rail in little Santa Cruz where we live, and of course they want to buy up the trail lines, and they want to put in this light rail system that'll tie in from Santa Cruz all the way up to, you go through the mountains, Santa Cruz mountains, or I don't know how they're ever going to get over to San Jose. This is the whole idea. Get people out of their cars and into these, into light rail and things of that sort. But you really want, of course, to block development. And these people call them progressives. They're not progressives. It's all about control of the individual. Michael, you go ahead with the thought.
Well, the concept of light rail is prototype sustainable development. The idea is to get us out of our cars, to undo the idea of auto mobility, meaning self-mobility, and to put us onto systems that will only take us to where the power base wants us to go. You know, you can't go where you want to go on a light rail. You can only go where it takes you. And that's why automobiles have been so free. And that's why the attack on automobiles is so severe. You know, the concept of smart growth is all about creating these light rail systems. And that's the rage across America. Now, I don't believe they're going to get too many of their light rail systems in before they implode the value of the dollar.
No, that may be the one saving grace. Here in Santa Cruz, they were going to justify this light rail system by saying that they knew it would make money. I think they put out $250,000, something like that, for a study. They were going to use this light rail system to haul freight from Aptos to Capitola. Now, most people don't know where they are, but this is a distance probably not more than 7 miles. And they're going to make, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for this thing by hauling freight 7 miles, you know, with this system over 7 miles, you know. Nobody ever asks how it's going to get to the train station in Aptos or get to the train station in Capitola and then be delivered from there. No, we put out hundreds of thousands of dollars for a study that came up with that conclusion. We're going to haul freight. This is going to make all sorts of money for us. It's like Medicare. Medicare was never going to cost more than, well, I think $9 billion by the year 2000. 1990, I should say. Last year's cost, $460 billion. They lie. But of course, go right ahead, Gloria.
Well, I just wanted to also mention that if we can see the same players that were in the Y2Y issue that we stopped in February, we have the executive director of the Lands Council in Spokane, and that's an environmentalist group who's promoting this light rail system to be implemented in Spokane, and he's basically calling it the economic growth engine for this community. And so there are some really reasonable people that are running for office here in Spokane that are against this light rail, and I'm going to make sure that people know who they are, the ones that are in favor of the light rail and the ones that are against it, because the sensible conservative politicians that are running, such as Matt Shea and Shelley Short, they're the ones that are really against this light rail system, and those are the ones that we've got to let everybody know to promote and give money to, because otherwise we're going to be taken over by these liberal environmentalists. And so you see the same players, and it all becomes clear what's really happening. They want everybody to live close to the freeway, and that's why they're building apartment buildings just so close to the freeway. It's just ridiculous.
Well, Gloria, you're wonderful, but I will take issue with one thing. This is not a liberal versus conservative dynamic. The conservative George Bush, IDU.org organization, which is comprised of the Republican Party and 80 so-called conservative political parties from around the world, are all committed to sustainable development implementation. This is not us against them. This is globalists versus Americans, and the globalists fill the conservative ranks in this country as well as the liberal ranks. So I would have to agree with you there.
When I say the conservatives, let me define. These are people that understand what Agenda 21 is, like Matt Shea. He understands the concept that light rail is part of this agenda. Shelley Short, who worked for Joel Kretz, they are the people that came forward and exposed how dangerous Y2Y is. They understand the big picture. And so when I say conservative, I don't mean, of course they're social conservatives too, but they understand the umbrella of Agenda 21 and how dangerous it's going to be if implemented into our Spokane.
I'm not a conservative.
Eastern, Washington community. And I use the term conservative because they are, but they also are knowledgeable about these programs that you've mentioned.
Okay, fine. Anything else, Gloria, before we let you go?
Oh, that's it.
All right,
fine.
Michael, what is the IDU you mentioned?
The International Democrat Union.
All right.
IDU.org. You can go on the web and find it. It is a consortium of 80, quote, they're calling themselves right-of-center political parties. It's led by George Bush Sr. and Haley Barbour, the governor of Mississippi, and other prominent GOP members. And the purpose, if you go to the purpose statement within the website of the IDU, you'll find that the purpose is to adopt the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. Now, there's only one way you can adopt the International Declaration of Human Rights, and that is to reject the American Declaration of Independence. And that's because the Declaration of Human Rights, Article 29, Section C, says that all the rights and freedoms that have been granted herein are subject to the principles and policies of the United Nations. and can be adjusted from time to time. That means all rights that you're granted can be withdrawn, restricted, or just taken away.
And, of course, that is the basis of fascism. In other words, you're entitled to all these rights unless we, of course, want to take them away from you. And that is the antithesis of Americanism, where our rights are God-given and cannot be taken away by anybody. And that's why so much of what's going on today in the Congress and in the Senate is frankly unconstitutional. Well, let's go ahead and go to Michael, who's calling us, or Maggie is calling us from Texas. Go ahead, Maggie. Do you have a question or comment?
I happen to live very close to where one of those walkable town type developments is going up on 800 acres, and I've had the opportunity to watch it in all stages of development, and it's just been fascinating in a horrible sort of way to watch this thing go up and compare the way in which it is hyped with the reality of what it really is. And it's one of those places, it's being built in stages. They're going to have about 1,000 residences when they're through. They've got about 300 of them ready and occupied now. They're the, McMansions squeezed together like sardines with no yard, and some, quote, affordable housing mixed in, and their definition of affordable is $135,000. And they've got, neighborhood associations that control everything. And what really strikes me about it is how empty that place is.
Well, let's hope it stays empty. Let's hope we can educate the American people and understand that this is what the fascists want. They want to put us into these little sardine cans where they can watch us, where they can monitor us, where they can control us. Any thoughts before we let you go? Michael, do you have any thoughts for Maggie?
Well, the disappointing part of that is that's the way the Portland smart growth dynamics began. Mm-hmm. The units all sat there empty, and a lot of these, too, were so-called affordable housing units. And affordable housing units, we ought to take note, is the reason for the bailout. Because the affordable housing units in Portland ultimately sold. And that's because the subsidies and the giveaways to people who couldn't afford even to take on the obligations they took on were the people who ended up filling the smart growth projects in Portland. I predict that will happen in Texas.
Well,
and as a result, 5 years from now, we'll be bailing out the homeowners and the developers of projects like what's happening, what you've described in Texas.
Well, what I didn't actually mean that the houses were empty, although many of them still are. What I was referring to was the streets. You don't see anybody. You don't see people walking on the streets and all these things that were supposed to happen as advertised. People are inside of their houses, locked in, not associating with anybody, and it's just a very, very strange feel. And then there are a lot of unoccupied houses. I don't know how that will go. They're putting up some shops on the ground floor, and the people are supposed to live above their own shops. So I'm waiting to see how this will turn out.
What's the name of the project, Maggie?
It's called the Mueller Development.
Okay, the Mueller Development. Hey, thank you so very much for calling and sharing that with us. God bless. And before we go on, I want Michael to get his website out there and the phone number where people can get in touch with Freedom Advocates.
The phone number is 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232. You can go to our website and, you'll get, a full exposure of what sustainable development is. It'll come to you via print and audio and video. We have a lot of product there that you can get your hands on and download or order printed copies and circulate it in your community. And what I can say is that in those communities that have had somebody or some people make that acquisition and circulate our pamphlets, particularly our communities where the awareness has really grown. And what we need is a battle in every community over these issues.
And again, that telephone number is 831-684-2232. Is that right? 831-684-2232. Here's something that you can do. People have to understand these things are not happening by accident. They are orchestrated from the top. And, of course, most people, even many of the people locally involved, don't understand that there is a centralized plan behind all of this. And Sydney, if anybody, of course, out there would like to know a little bit more, we have a four-CD set called... you could ask for the basic idea of sustainable development unmasked. We actually have the DVD, certainly going into the background of what this is all about. We have certainly syllabuses on this sort of thing, on sustainable development. You have to understand that this is part of a long-range plan, and it has to do with control. And behind that, of course, are powerful spiritual forces that want to destroy America as we know it. So certainly we have a four-tape set on sustainable development. We have a syllabus on sustainable development. We have DVDs on sustainable development and other issues of this sort. And they're available from Radio Liberty at radioliberty.com. You can look that up and go to our website and pull down the information. Well, certainly if you're out there in the listening audience, you have another question or comment for Michael Shaw, our number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do you want to get your full website out, Michael?
It's freedomadvocates.org. Easy enough, freedomadvocates.org. And you'll just find lots of tools to be used in the neighborhood or awakening your fellow citizen, because the dynamic of sustainable development is very tricky. And until you understand how the leftists bring their element of sustainable development via land use controls and social justice policies that change our system of law in this country, and until you understand how the conservatives bring their public-private partnership dynamics into play, where government chooses its partners to bring us new systems of all things. Until you understand how those two combine and coalesce into the program, the globalist program of sustainable development, you'll be working against yourself. But once you understand that, then you can rise up not as a liberal, not as a Democrat, but as an American to preserve life, liberty, and property, not just for you, but for your children and their children, because the battle is on. And we're on the verge of loss. And the way they're able to control our stock market, the way they're able to control our credit, the way they're able to control all aspects of our economic life are becoming evident in today's news.
And Chris, the way they were able to manipulate the stock market today, which was down to literally 800 points down today, and then bring it back to 300 and some odd points down, it's all being done by manipulation. It all has to do with perception. They have the Working Group on Financial Matters, and of course that's their job, is to manipulate the stock market. And, of course, they are. You can go up to the Internet and certainly looking into the Working Group on Financial Matters, and certainly it's made up of people from the Treasury Department, from the Federal Reserve. Actually, the leader of the Treasury would be certainly our current leader of the Treasury, Mr. Bernanke, head of the Federal Reserve System, the head of the SEC, the head of the First Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and I think one other. These five people can manipulate our stock market. They're the Working Group on Financial Matters. But you can get this off the Internet. You don't have to take what I say about it. You're never going to read this in the public media. Why? Because they don't want you to know the stock market is manipulated. Everything is manipulated. Our reality is manipulated because 90 to 95% of the media is controlled by people affiliated with this movement towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, New World Economy, and the new world currency. This is what they want. The average individual has no idea. They take things as if they're just happening, but nobody can explain why. They say, oh, there's so many things that just don't make sense. No, they all make sense when you understand that the stock market is being intentionally manipulated. either up or down, because it controls our emotions. And when, you know, things are good, why, we feel wonderful in the stock market. When they're bad, we feel terrible. And of course, then we don't think, or we begin to ponder. And they don't want us to be concerned. Well, I think now, of course, that the whole world economy is falling apart, why, they'll let us be a little concerned for a while, hoping that they will be able to take our attention off of who is really manipulating the market, who is manipulating our reality, who controls the media. And if you haven't read the book, The New Media Monopoly, written by Professor Ben Bagdakian of the University of California, we do carry that. But certainly, Michael, your website one more time.
FreedomAdvocates.org.
And what will they
find? Plenty of tools to help everybody in every community across the country. Check them out, get them, spread them, and bring your community back, because it's community by community. It's fighting locally in order to have a national impact. It's the only chance I see for saving America.
Well, Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I'll wrap up by saying this. Sustainable development is the step-by-step abolition of private property.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us,
866-784-2232, 831-684-2232. They do a great job. And then, of course, certainly we want to remind our listeners out there about our annual conference. And, of course, it's going to be held on the 26th of October. And it's going to be an all-day conference and going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. Beautiful site and a beautiful spot here on the north shore of Monterey Bay. If you'd like to come, the telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We're going to bring in Dr. Russa Blaylock to talk on medical issues, and Chrissy's going to be talking on vaccines, but of course the use of vaccines to create sterility in our people, the use of vaccines certainly to create all sorts of medical problems in our people, the use of vaccines to limit the population. You must understand these people have an agenda, but you're not going to know about it. And, of course, we certainly, if you need to know more about, of course, the programs, vaccine programs, I hope you want to come and understand that vaccination is not limiting death in this country. We're seeing more and more and more death in this country. We are about 41st in longevity in the United States compared to the rest of the world. You're not going to hear about that from your controlled media. But this is the truth of the matter. So you need to come to our Sustainable Developments program. You need, of course, to hear Dr. Russa Blaylock. And, of course, then Joanna Michelson will be there. She was a medium. She'll be talking about, of course, this move to use the spiritual forces within our society. And she was part and parcel of this. She saw the miracles that were actually performed, and she thought they were from God, only to find out to her horror. They were coming, these true miracles from the dark side. And then, of course, we're going to have Patrick Wood there talking about finances and the effort to destroy the finances of our country as we descend into, suddenly, into the contraction of the money supply for the time being. If we descend into economic contraction, of course, down the line, they'll turn on the printing presses, then we'll have hyperinflation, then we'll have deflation. And before this is over, most people are going to lose everything they have monetarily unless they make their preparations now. That's why the talk by Patrick Wood is so important. And, of course, Michael Shaw, who is just with us, will be our guest as well. And I'll be talking on oil and the significance of what's happening to the price of gasoline, the long-range plan and how this is going to be used to increase government control over every aspect of our lives. If you'd like to know more about it, or hopefully you want to come for the all-day conference starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, that's when the doors will open. They'll be going till 5, 5:30. We're going to be serving lunch. The telephone number to call is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you need a list of local hotels and motels, we'll be glad to send it to you if you're coming from out of the area. Looks like we're going to have a great turnout, lots more interest than we've seen for a long time, but you're going to have to make a reservation, and we're going to have to cut off a week beforehand, but make your reservations now so we'll have an idea how many people are coming. We hope many of you will want to get our material on sustainable development. We have a syllabus. We have a four-tape set. We have a DVD on sustainable development. And, of course, if you'd like to get a copy of the Earth Charter, if you get any of the other items we've mentioned, we'd be glad to send you a copy of the Earth Charter. Understand these things are happening not by accident, but by intent. They know exactly what they are doing. If you'd like to understand the spiritual forces behind this movement, well, you really would want to get the material we have from the workings of the spiritual hierarchy. It really is a spiritual hierarchy. They write about it openly in their publications. They just don't want you to understand that we're fighting a spiritual battle on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. So again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our website is radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day, 4 hours a day there, and, of course, another hour on the AmericanNewsNet.com. You can listen to the replays of our programs. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who's an Israeli patriot who certainly wrote articles over in Israel for 25 years or more. And certainly he was the person who was trying to wake people up as to what's going on. He has a number of books he's written. And he'll tell you more about that, because, of course, he was getting too close to the very essence of the heart of the evil that is behind what's going on. He had threats on his life and was forced to leave the country. But, of course, his departure from Israel and coming into the United States so we can talk to him on a regular basis serves to our benefit, because he will bring in information you're not going to get else from elsewhere. He's gotten a very good oversight of what's going on, certainly in Israel today, in the Middle East, and of course so much of what's going on today really centers upon this conflict, this age-old conflict for control of the Holy Land. And right now, of course, the Jews have been forced by their leaders to give up pieces of land. They've, of course, given up the major part of the West Bank. They've given up the Gaza area. They're being forced to give up Judea and Samaria. And, of course, you have to understand the leaders of Israel today are not loyal to the state of Israel. There is a conscious effort to destroy Israel. I believe this is coordinated by some of the most powerful people over there. But people in the United States do not understand that. They think that the Zionists control the United States. But you have to understand that the Zionists are working hand in hand with the people here in our government, who the people in our government do not believe in America. They want to merge us into a world government. The people in Israel do not believe in Israel. They want to merge them into a world government. And they're setting Israel up, I believe, for terrible, terrible suffering. I believe a war is coming. It's only a matter of time. Certainly they are doing everything they can to arm Hamas in the southern part of Israel and arm Hezbollah in the northern part of Israel. Today they have 40 to 50,000 missiles aimed at the very heart of Israel. Certainly Syria is being armed by the Russians, who of course are being helped and financed directly and indirectly by the United States. And of course Lebanon has a tremendous number of weapons, the missiles that will be trained on Israel in the coming war. We're moving into very dangerous times, and most Americans are really more concerned about who's going to win the NFL and who's going to win the World Series than about the hotbed of activity over there in Israel. But we've got Barry Shamish to bring us up to date with what's going on. Barry, tell us what your concerns are about Israel today.
Yeah, I'd say Boston has a good chance for the World Series, and the Giants will take the NFL this year.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
All right. First of all, I'm going to do a story that I know something about, and I'm going to leave the week's events till the end. Now, this is, again, I get this news from Israel, and in Israel, it's important, and you've never heard of this, but I hear the music already.
Now, go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
Well, Dr. David Neve was shot dead last year, right in Ramat Gan. A group of people came and shot him right this car. Dr. David Neve was the head of the pain therapy unit of Ichilov Hospital and was on my list of doctors who were at Ichilov when Rabin was taken into the hospital and died there. And somebody just shot him up in the street last year, and I reported this. Now, this week, for some reason, the police arrested four people, and the courts let them all go.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, fine. Well, Barry, did they arrest the police arrest these people for shooting this gentleman? Why would the courts let him go if the police arrested him? At least find out if there's enough proof to hold him.
Well, the courts believed there wasn't enough proof, and the police were really, really ticked off. But, again, this is the Rabin murder, and I thought I'd talk about all the dead people surrounding the Rabin assassination. Dr. David Neve is the latest. He was shot dead last year.
What was his relationship to the Rabin assassination?
Well, again, we have to guess. He was the head of the pain relief center at Iklov Hospital and was on duty the night Rabin was shot. But again, you didn't have to be. It's just knowing too much. You got to remember, the heads of departments sit down and they share meals together and they gossip and they get the information, and some people have big mouths and they start shooting it off. He was a department head at Iklov Hospital. We can assume many things, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why now. Why wait? Now, Dr. Neve's they were accused of being the assassins. Now they're home. The courts let them go. Now, let's have a little bit of a background history, and I know plenty about this. I'm going to talk about two other doctors right now who were not only there at the night of the assassination, they signed documents. They are Dr. Mordechai Gutman, who was the chief surgeon of Rabin. And he signed the amazing document saying there were three bullet holes. Very, very important man. And there was Dr. Kluger, who at 2 in the morning changed everything. He changed the whole wounds, wrote a brand new medical report. Well, I received a report originally from very religious people. That's all I can say for now, that Dr. Goodman and Dr. Kluger had both become extremely ill. This was in 1997. They were losing weight, and everyone in the hospital were terribly, terribly worried. They didn't know how two very important surgeons were actually just whittling away down to nothing. And I wrote this up, and here is
all right, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Barry Sammet. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply talking about the assassination of Rabin, and there were two doctors at the hospital where Rabin was taken into, and sometime after the assassination, maybe he'll tell us when, both of these doctors at the hospital began losing weight and becoming, looking very, very ill, and the question is, why would two doctors who had played a part in taking care of Rabin after the assassination, why would two doctors in the same hospital both become seriously ill about the same time? How long after the assassination was it?
1997, 2 years.
3 years, okay. So
two years.
All right. Did these doctors actually have anything to do with the care of Rabin when he came in?
They operated on him.
They operated on him, okay. So, and suddenly they become very ill. What did you conclude about their illness?
Well, I just reported it initially, and I included it in my lectures. Now, just to give you a little background, Mordechai Gutman wrote the surgeon's report that Rabin was shot 3 times and that his spinal cord was shattered. Dr. Kluger, at 2 in the morning, got rid of the spinal cord injury, and suddenly Rabin was shot 2 with any spine wounds. Obviously, he was involved in the cover-up, and I don't think voluntarily. Far from it. I think they were both honest men who just got sucked into this world of crime. They certainly weren't part of the world of crime. They were honest surgeons. But this is a very, very serious problem in Israel, is that, well, the same with Sharon, the doctors killed them. They gave them blood thinners when they found that veins in his brain were very weak. They guaranteed his death by giving him blood thinners. I don't think they did that voluntarily. I think literally a gun was put to their head and they were told to get rid of Sharon. The same thing with Rabin. Kluger was told to change the reports. Goodman's reports were found initially by someone named Nathan Geffen, another writer on Rabin, and then I found other ones. The fact is that I read this, by the way, in a very religious Orthodox newspaper, that both Kluger and Goodman were shrinking away and they were down to like 100 pounds each. So I mentioned this. I had a, I can even remember where it was. It was a lecture I gave in a place called Petah Tikva. And a very strange thing happened. And by the way, I got so many of my facts just by giving lectures. There was a nurse from Ichilov Hospital at my lecture, and we're gathered around the table. These lectures, they were always light refreshments, sometimes really good light refreshments at the end of the lecture. And she said to me, "How did you find out about Kluger and Goodman?" She said, "You know, we sent their biopsies to hospitals around the world. We couldn't figure out why they were getting so thin. They were really almost skeletal, and both of them left the country to be treated." And she said, "How did you know all this?" The fact is that both Kluger and Goodman suffered, well, really it sounds like some form of AIDS. They couldn't put on weight. They lost a tremendous amount of it. The biopsies in Israel did not show anything that the medical system there had ever encountered before, and both almost died. It's a miracle, really, they recovered. And afterwards, of course, they were very, very well-behaved doctors. I mean, they played along with the cover-up thoroughly after that, but initially they sure didn't. Now, this brings me on, to another murder that I exposed, and I was the only one to expose, and now a lot of people believe me. And we now talk about Dr. Dalia Eyal. Dalia Eyal was, in the 1980s, she was director general of the ER of Ichilov Hospital. At the time of Rabin's assassination, she in fact was the director general of a health fund at Ichilov Hospital. But nonetheless, on January 10th of the year 2001, she was murdered. Now, here is the background, and here is how I solved it. And a lot of people, to this day, people refer to my, just clear-cut reasoning, putting dots together and coming up with the truth. What we were told, well, here's what happened. On the evening of January 10th, Dalia and her husband are in bed and they die. They're dead in bed. The son comes home January 11th, very late, 2-3 in the morning. He finds his parents dead. Now, what does he do? Does he phone the police? Does he phone an ambulance? Apparently not, because he sat down on a comfy sofa and died. Now the son is dead. It took 48 hours until Dalia Eyal's brother arrived at the apartment. In the meantime, they have two cats who did not die. This after 48 hours. He goes into the apartment. He finds, first of all, the son dead. His name was Asaf. He's dead on the sofa. And his parents, who have been dead for almost 2 days, are lying in their bedroom. Now, immediately there was tremendous suspicion, because this, again, was a department head at Ichilov Hospital, just like David Neve. Same thing. Now, there was an investigation into how all three died. Remember, two parents, one son, dead. And what do we discover? Well, here is what they told us, officially. Okay, the police told us that a bird have built a nest on their chimney, and it blocked up the water heater, and everyone died of carbon monoxide poisoning. Now, I just wrote a very simple analysis. It's January 10th. No bird in Israel makes a nest on January 10th. In fact, they make their nest in the spring. And that no bird overnight built a nest on their chimney. Impossible. It's just as cold in January as it is in New York in January. There are no birds around making nests. Now, even assuming that it was May 10th, a bird doesn't build a nest over carbon monoxide, or the bird won't be alive very much longer. However, it wasn't May 10th, it was January 10th. And this assumes that, let's assume that a bird the spring before had built a nest over their chimney. It means they hadn't taken a shower using hot water the entire winter long. Only on January 10th they turned on their water heater to die of carbon monoxide poisoning. Next, I just brought up the fact about the son Asaph. He gets home at 2 in the morning and finds his parents dead. So what does he do? Does he phone an ambulance? Does he phone the police? Of course not. He finds the comfiest sofa in the house, lays down, and dies. Very logical, normal reaction to finding both your parents dead in the bedroom. You just have a good comfy seat in the sofa and you die. Now the brother, well, his brother-in-law, Dahlia's brother, shows up on January 12th. The house stinks of dead people. But the cats, who have been living in carbon monoxide for 48 hours, they're just as alive as ever. No problem with the cats. They're a little hungry, but they're alive. So I started writing this, that it can't be that another department head from Iqaluf Hospital who found out too much and was shooting her mouth off. That's why they got rid of her. Another one I said is dead. And I said, this is not carbon monoxide poisoning. There's something else going on here. No bird built a nest. And the PazGas company, they're the ones that provide gas to the homes in Israel, did their own investigation. About 3 months later, they came to the conclusion, after checking the bodies themselves, there was an autopsy done, by the way, by Dr. Yehuda Hiss, who did Rabin's autopsy. He was a very, very sick individual. He still is. They actually found the internal organs of 81 patients that he took and had stored in his office without telling the families. He did the autopsy on the Ayel family, and he came up with this business about carbon monoxide. PazGas managed to get a subpoena and managed to do an autopsy and managed to check the house out. They concluded, and this is a quote, that the Ayel family died of cyanide poisoning.
Well, right. That's a lot different, and of course, but then we find so many people dying mysteriously when you really begin to analyze it, and we've seen this here in the United States, people just dying and no logical explanation. And of course, when there are key people in key positions, why, of course, we have to ask, what's really going on? So go right ahead.
All righty. Now, their version of the cyanide poisoning was that possibly it came from the dryer, the clothes dryer, leaking. They didn't go all the way and say the cyanide was shoved down their throats or they didn't say it was human cyanide.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a few moments. Go right ahead, Barry.
All right, that's the next department head at Ichilov.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Over Russia, and it's brought down by missiles that are fired some 300 miles away. Is that right?
Yeah, one missile.
Right.
From the Ukrainian anti-aircraft division, somehow it knocked down this plane over the Black Sea. Of course, that's nonsense. But the world accepted it. Israel accepted it. Everyone, the Ukraine apologized.
Well, no, but who was this gentleman? Why was he important? Why was he so?
Well, he was the one who administered the blood to Rabin.
All right, fine. So he was.
He saw Rabin's wounds.
He was somehow involved with the death of the Prime Minister of Israel, Rabin.
Not the death.
Right.
Not the death. That's for sure. Not the death.
All right.
He was involved in trying to save him.
Right. And did he save him, though?
Rabin?
Yeah.
No, he's dead.
No, I know, but the thing is that Rabin died, so he was the doctor in charge of trying to save him.
He was the doctor in charge of infusing him with blood.
Okay, fine.
The doctor in charge of saving him was the head of surgery that evening, Dr. Mordechai Gutman. He got very, very sick and very, very skinny, and his biopsy was sent worldwide, and he was finally treated, I believe, at Mayo Clinic outside Israel, and he came back okay. That's the chief of surgery, Gutman. Dr. Kluger, I believe, was chief of cardiology, and he wrote the follow-up medical report that discounted Gutman's medical report that Rabin was shot 3 times, once to the spine. Dr. Kluger's report at 2 in the morning missed the spine wound. It went away. It disappeared. He got very, very skinny. His biopsy was sent worldwide, and he was treated outside Israel. Dr. Dalia, Dr. Dalia, the head of, you know what, this is ridiculous. We just spoke about her like 2 seconds ago, and I've already forgot her. Dr. Dalia Ayel, what's wrong with me? Dr. Dalia Ayel, who was head at the time of the Rabin assassination of the health fund at Ichilov Hospital, but who was previously head of the ER at Ichilov Hospital, died in her house of cyanide poisoning. And now we have the head of hematology at Ichilov Hospital, whose airplane, a Corsair, on October 21st of 2001, was shot over the Black Sea by a Ukrainian missile, killing not only the doctor, but also brought down 40 microbiologists, as well as 2 very major Israeli medical doctors, on their way to a biological warfare convention in Novosibirsk in Russia. That's the next dead doctor at Ichilov. We're now up to 5. Okay, and just to remind you, it all began because last year Dr. David Neve was shot from his car in Ramat Gan, and his supposed assassins were released from custody this week. That's how I started the whole conversation. Have I cleared this up?
Well, obviously something is going on there that they do not want the public to know. And suddenly they're just getting rid of all the potential witnesses. Would that be a fairly good statement?
Well, they're getting rid of department heads at Ichilov Hospital. What a dangerous job that turned out to be. Yeah, absolutely. Surrounding the Rabin assassination and following it, there are a whole series of dead doctors from only one hospital, Ichilov. Now, I'm going to go on to another dead person that, again, in my research, you know, this was actually very scary research in retrospect. At the time, one fact would come in, and I would just assume this is reality and write it down like any good reporter. What happened... do I hear music?
You hear music. Go ahead. I'll tell you when to stop.
All right. There was a wonderful breakthrough that happened to me in the year 2003 when I got a phone call from someone named Amos Ben-Dov. He had read my website in Hebrew, and he had something important to tell me. Amos Ben-Dov was no schmo. He was the head of security for Ichilov Hospital.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Berry is contacted by the head of security at this hospital, which plays such a key part in this whole story of the murder of Rabin. So what did the head of security tell you, Berry?
All right, he says to me, look, I've got something strange that I feel I should tell you. And again, in retrospect, the kind of witnesses that were coming to me through websites and through my book, every day there was another phone call like this. There was no one else in Israel properly researching Rabin's murder. He says to me, I was head of security for Iklov Hospital, and Rabin's car was parked just outside the trauma center door. And he said, I went up to the car, and I looked in there, and there was a huge blood stain in the back seat, which naturally I assume was Rabin's. But, he says, there was an equally large blood stain in the front seat beside the driver. Now, he went on talking, and he said, at first I thought it was Yoram Rubin, Rabin's bodyguard, because he came into the hospital with a slight wound, but his wound was nothing. It didn't bleed. And then he says, I found out that Yoram Rubin was in the back seat beside Rabin. This is official testimony. And he said, when I heard that, that eliminated any possibility that the blood came from Rabin's bodyguard, Rubin. So he says, Mr. Chamish, who got shot in the front seat? And then he starts telling me that he called over. It's in my book. I don't even know the name of his associate. And he told him to look in the car and look at the two bloodstains. And the associate nodded his head but didn't see the significance. And the important thing is he agreed to go to a lawyer's office and sign a legal affidavit that he saw a huge bloodstain in the front seat of Rabin's car. Boy, that must have been some drive to the hospital. Some drive. Now, just to let you know, I can suspect who it may have been, and that would have been Yoav Kuriel. Now, Yoav Kuriel officially didn't die until a week later.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Barry Shamis. And we're just talking about all the strange deaths associated with the shooting of Rabin. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Barry is talking about being contacted by somebody who was there at the time of the assassination of Rabin, and he told Barry that there was suddenly a blood stain in the back seat where Rabin had been shot, but there was also a blood stain in the front seat, a large blood stain, and nobody had ever addressed who it was who was injured there. And, of course, Barry is suggesting it was this man a bodyguard, or what was his function? Why was he sitting in the front seat?
It probably wasn't Yoav Kuriel, who was a Shabak agent. And I got all his documents. They were handed to me. There was someone else buried on the night that Rabin was murdered in Jerusalem, and he was buried at a major cemetery at the opening of Jerusalem. There's a major cemetery overlooking the highway. He was buried there, and I went to the grave diggers, and I went there just asking who died on the evening of November 4th or the morning of November 5th. Absolutely blocked. Totally blocked. They wouldn't even hand over the records. I remember that little incident. So I assume he was the bodyguard shot. But Kuriel was another bodyguard who was shot dead, and I got the evidence. Yoav Kuriel was buried, he was buried on November 17th, but he was apparently shot on November 15th. Now, Yoav Kuriel, they did a very stupid thing when they buried him. They blocked off a very big junction in Israel, Yarkon Junction. And for an hour and a half, you couldn't get through there for all these Mossad and Shabak agents who covered this funeral. So the media covered it. And what the media said was this was an extremely suspicious funeral where traffic was blocked for an hour and a half, and they talked about the burial of the bodyguard, Yoav Kuriel. And incidentally, I eventually found his death certificate. The cause of death was rubbed out. I found out all kinds of things eventually. But the media of Israel were finally acting like a media. For 2 days, they reported on the suspicious death of the bodyguard, Yoav Kuriel. And on the, 2 days later, it was November 19th, the police and the media all reported that Yoav Kuriel committed suicide. He was so depressed that he didn't save Rabin that he committed suicide. Now we go back to me. November 1996, I met the assistant gravedigger. I met the person who prepared his body for burial. And his name is in my book, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. I believe I do the full name. I believe I do the full name in that book. But he told me what he saw, and then much, much better. It was 1998. It was the summer. I gave a lecture in Hod HaSharon, hosted by an attorney. And this man in the audience just kept interrupting me when every time I spoke about Kuriel's death. And the audience say, no, listen to him, listen to him. Finally, at the end of my speech, he says to me, would you like to speak with me? Let's go outside. And people in the audience are saying, you better go talk to this guy if you want information. His name was Amos. I went outside with him, and he says to me, I was the police lieutenant in charge of the death, in charge of investigating the death of Yoav Kuriel. I said, you're kidding. He said, nope. He was found dead in his apartment in Ramat Gan, and I got there, and they told me it was a suicide. I said, all right, where's the gun? And he says, I was told the gun is missing. I said, how in a suicide can a gun be missing? Okay? He said that was the first thing. The gun was gone. And obviously, if somebody kills himself, the gun is going to be on the floor. But the gun was gone. And then he confirmed what I was told by the grave digger 2 years before. Yoav Kuriel was shot 7 times through the chest.
I guess he really wanted to kill himself then.
He was very persistent, right. Yes. He was a very stubborn suicide. And I got this from the actual police inspector who investigated the death of Yoav Kuriel. He was murdered. Now, this took a while, and I can't confirm the next. I should be able to confirm. I spoke with someone who should know, but nonetheless, it wasn't corroborated. And I got the strict rule, barring the greatest and most reliable source on the planet, I need to corroborate my evidence. And in this case, I corroborated. I had 2 witnesses. But I was told that Yoav Kuriel's duty was to kill Yigal Amir, the patsy. And he chickened out and did not shoot Yigal Amir. And by the way, in my book, you'll read all about the search for another gun. At the time of Rabin's murder, the cops were ordered to look for, instead of a 38, no, a 45, they were supposed to look for a 22, a separate gun altogether. This was apparently Yoav Kuriel, who got very, very chicken about shooting Yigal Amir, dropped the gun, and ran away. And he said eventually they killed him. That's the way it was told to me, and I'll tell you something, it's the best version, most logical version of events I heard, and I can almost say that's what happened.
All right, before we go on, Barry, I do want you to tell our listeners how they get in touch with you and your material. How can they get your DVDs? How can they get your books? And, of course, how can they contact you?
Sure. I'd be delighted. First of all, the books. You go to www.lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. And in this case, look up Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. There's a color book, very expensive, and there's a black and white book. Get the black and white book. It's only $17. By the way, the book is also in Spanish. If you go to lulu.com and instead of English, you go language of Spanish, you'll actually see Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin in Spanish. Next, my website. Oh, and by the way, my other books are on lulu.com as well. My website is barrychamish.com. www.barrychamish.com. You don't have to go backwards. When you get to Lulu, there's a box that says search right in my name. C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's how you spell Chamish. The website is barrychamish.com. I'll leave a phone number. I have a new DVD called Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, the Holocaust. And my phone number for all the DVDs, by the way, and also for the book Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, the Holocaust, which isn't formatted properly at Lulu. That'll be coming up next week. So if you want these little products, just dial me, 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. Now back to murder.
All right, go ahead.
Now, I'm trying to figure out the Rabin assassination. By the way, I did a pretty decent job of it. So I phone up the head, I phone up the head nurse at Iqaluv Hospital, the one who prepared the medical documents and who was there while Rabin was being operated on. Her name was Svetlana Slimovitz, and she lived in Holon. And I found her number in the phone book. And I figured, this is it. You know, I've got a name, I've got a number. With a little luck, she'll tell me how many bullet holes were in Rabin. That took a few years to prove I was right. At the time, I didn't know. Well, I knew, but I, again, another witness only corroborates. So I phoned her up, and I said, hi, I'm Barry Chamish. I wrote the book, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. And I asked her, would you mind just taking a couple of questions? And she suddenly gets very, very scared, and really scared. And I heard it in her voice, and I said to her, could you please tell me if Rabin was shot from the front? And she starts yelling at me, where did you get my name from? She's yelling this in Russian accented Hebrew. Said, who gave you my number? I said, it was in the book. I said, your name is on the medical documents, that you were head nurse, for Rabin's operation. And she said, first of all, I wasn't at Iqaluv. I said, you were so. And your name is on the medical report. And she said, I don't care what it says. I wasn't there, and I'll never tell you what I saw. And she banged on the phone. And there isn't much you could do with an absolutely terrified woman like that.
Well, I wasn't there, and I'll never tell you what I saw.
She mixed up everything.
Tells the whole story.
Absolutely. She wasn't there, but I won't say what I saw. She was a woman who had been warned. That was clear cut from her voice. And then, it wasn't just that. I worked with Yaakov Berker, was his name. He was actually head of the Accountants Association in Israel, and he was head of the committee to reinvestigate the Rabin assassination. He did a miserable job, I must say, but his wife phoned me up, and his wife phoned up other partners and said, Yaakov is very sick. He can't do this anymore. There's too much death surrounding this. I don't want Yaakov to die. Get him out of this. Don't answer his calls. Don't ask him to do anything. People in Israel are terrified of this string of murders that surround the Rabin assassination. There are a lot of dead people post-Rabin. I just gave you what the names of five department heads at Iqlov Hospital who suffered. Well, if I must go over them, there was Kluger, and Gutman got very, very sick. The Ayel family, Dalia Ayel, was found poisoned in their own house. The head of hematology was knocked down by a missile over Russia. And by the way, I assumed it was an attack on all Israeli microbiologists, which is happening worldwide. And now more and more, I think it was all those dead people were just to get rid of one more Iqlov doctor who was shooting his mouth off. And that's what I think. And, of course, the bodyguards and Yoav Kuriel to shut up the Rabin assassination. A lot of people died, and the last one was David Neev. It was last year. He was shot in his car on the streets of Ramat Gan, and this week his supposed assassins, and by the way, I think the police knew more than they were telling us, and I think the courts just let them off scot-free. That's what I think happened. But David Neev, head of the pain center in Iqlov Hospital, who was at Iqlov on the night of the murder, well, he was the last one shot dead, and this week his accused assassins were released from custody. There, that's that story.
And, of course, it sounds pretty absurd, and yet, of course, if you go in the background of the assassination of President Kennedy, there were over 100 people associated with the assassination who were assassinated themselves. I think that's called the Dead Witnesses or something. It's a book by Craig Roberts. This is the way they actually work. These are not imaginary things. These are very real assassinations carried out to conceal the truth from the American people. It happens in Israel. It happens here in the United States. You must understand there really are wicked people out there, and they want to keep the truth from the public. The last thing they would dare allow is for the public to begin to understand what's really going on. We have a wonderful four-tape set on the assassination of Martin Luther King. And, of course, we have two great four-tape sets in the assassination of President Kennedy. We have a four-tape set, not complete yet, unfortunately, on the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. Nothing, as we've been told. It's all been contrived to conceal the truth from the American people. They really do go around and kill people in the world we live in, and then they focus our attention on NFL football, on the World Series, and, of course, other really important issues. So go right ahead.
That's what I say. I think the Giants are going to take the NFL this year. That's my concern. But let's not forget Monte Gore while we're on the subject. Rabin's, he was the deputy minister of defense. Rabin's associate, Rabin was, besides prime minister, he was also minister for defense. He was killed a couple of months in July. He was killed a few months before Rabin was killed for just knowing too much and really fighting the Oslo Accord. And his name was Mota Gur. He was the liberator of Jerusalem in 1967, a very popular figure. I want you to know he had cancer, and supposedly he was so depressed by his cancer that he shot himself dead through his neck. Through his neck, they told us. There was only one problem with this. The head of Iqlov Hospital, once again, Iqlov Hospital, the head of the oncology department, his name was Samerio Chaychik. He was South American. Said, what is everyone saying he was depressed about cancer for? Mota Gur didn't have cancer anymore. He was treated at Memorial Hospital in Manhattan. He had been there for 7 weeks. The cancer was gone. He said, why is everyone saying he killed himself because of his cancer? He said he had come back, and he was still thin. He hadn't gotten over the effects of his cancer and all the medicines, but the cancer was gone. So there was no reason to kill himself because of cancer. Once more, a doctor from Ikolov Hospital, who I phoned, and let me tell you, he banged down the phone mighty, mighty quick. But once again, I had a lecture. It was also in Petah Tikva. I remember this night very, very clearly because a nurse came up to me and said, you know, you're absolutely right about Mota Gur. He said his cancer was gone. I treated him. He said there was no cancer. There was no reason to kill himself because he was going to die.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Barry,
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And of course, he's putting it out from the point of view of a Jewish patriot. I'm putting it out from the point of view of a Christian here in the United States. But we all see the same problem, and there really are forces working behind the scenes. If you doubt it, you really, of course, need to read Professor Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Professor Quigley was the leading historian of the last century, and at least according to Samuel Huntington, who is currently professor of history at Harvard University. You need to get our 4-tape set. I call The Secret Government, and there you'll have our interview with Professor Quigley, not one that I did, but one which was done by a reporter from the Washington Post, as Professor Quigley goes into the background of the conspiracy he uncovered. We carry Professor Quigley's 2 books. One is called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. That's Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Hard Time, which, of course, is over 1,300 pages, tells about the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created to take over control of the world, which became the Council on Foreign Relations. And of course, the Council on Foreign Relations today is America's invisible government. And certainly, it controls both the Republican and the Democratic parties. We have a one-party system with two branches. Then there's a second four-tape set. It's called The Secret Government, or you can get The Secret Government Special, which, of course, is available. It has two four-tape sets and two videos. And, of course, they're made with that gentleman who goes in the background of the Masonry and the other secret societies that are working behind the scenes. So they're available from Radio Liberty, either the two separate four tape sets or the Secret Government Special, which includes the videos as well. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will seriously consider coming to our all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 26th of October here in the North Shore of the Monterey Bay. If you need hotel reservations, you can call. We'll be glad to give you the telephone numbers. You may still be able to get the special, although the rooms may be used up at this time. But if you'd like to get the tickets for the program, in fact, we got, I think, in 6 or 8 reservations just today. It's on the 26th of October, so we already have over 100 reservations. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Make your reservations. People are coming from all over the country. We're going to have great speakers, Dr. Russell Blaylock, Johanna Michelson, talking on her experiences working within the occult, dedicated to the occult, and all the miracles that she saw. But when she finally analyzed them, they weren't of God. And then, of course, Patrick Wood will be there. Michael Shaw will be talking. We're not going to have too many speakers because we want you to have a chance to and get to hear all of the subjects discussed. So, again, the number to call would be 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs. You can certainly order our videos. You can order our four-tape sets. You can order the books that we carry that you won't get elsewhere. You can get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and his other book, which is very seldom mentioned, The Anglo-American Establishment, where he goes into this small little group of people who formed a secret society to take over control of the world, and they have. But then, of course, when you get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll find that the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created is simply one in a series of secret societies that exist today that permeate every aspect of our existence and extend into the communist countries, extends into the upper halls of Masonry, the highest levels of our government, gets into Theosophy, the Rosicrucians, and understand that there really are secret societies out there dedicated to the destruction of freedom. Our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.